I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, February the 19th, and it's time for our weekly feature, the State Capitol Report, when we kick around issues making news from under the State Capitol Dome. We will welcome in our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, to give us a preview of what's up this week, and we will also welcome in a couple of state legislators, one who is particularly involved in crime issues. Republican Scott Souter of Abbotsford will be joining in a little bit this half hour. And then after 7:30, we will welcome in a state lawmaker who is involved with environmental issues. Democratic State Representative Spencer Black will join us after 7:30 to talk about his new bill that would limit greenhouse gas emissions in Wisconsin and other environmental issues addressed in the state budget. And throughout it all, we will welcome your questions and reactions for all of our guests at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Let me welcome in first Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
And joining us on a day off, Sean, thank you very much.
Oh, no problem.
You had a busy week last week covering the governor's state budget address. Nice job, by the way.
Thank you.
And what seems initially to be garnering the most reaction from that address?
Well, I think there's just kind of a general theme of more spending and tax increases that have gotten attention from some of the Republican lawmakers in this address. And then we've also heard some smaller issues. I shouldn't say smaller, but some more specific issues coming out this week in terms of what the governor's budget would do. One of them, Representative Souter's going to talk about soon, that it would basically change the way that a law designed to monitor sex offenders would be carried out.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's something else that's going to be also sort of coming to a head soon, and that is the funding of DNA analysts in the budget. Governor has set aside money, or wants to set aside money, for 15 new DNA analysts and what he's calling, what you could call a budget adjustment bill. The Attorney General wants more than that.
Yes, and we will certainly talk with Scott Souter about both of those issues coming up after the weather break. What about Spencer Black's bill to cut greenhouse gas emissions? Is that getting much reaction?
From what I could tell, it looks like the governor's staff is open to that. This bill would require the state to track, monitor, and limit greenhouse gas emissions and reduce its carbon dioxide emissions to 1990 levels by 2020. That's something California is already doing. It's going to, I think Spencer Black would tell you, it may be a tough sell among his Republican colleagues in the Assembly. I think there are those who think that putting those kinds of controls on business would hurt business. So that's going to be the thing that he'll have to overcome to get that through.
One thing I know that is happening this week, because we were offered a chance to talk with him, is that the national head of, I believe, the Petroleum Council is going to be coming to Wisconsin to talk with lawmakers and newspaper editors and others in the media to complain about the governor's proposed tax on oil. Saying that this isn't fair and there's no way to ensure that the extra cost of this won't be passed on to consumers. That one's getting quite a bit of reaction, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's sort of the theme of the governor's tax increases in a way. The governor says that this would just be levied against oil companies and that they should have to pick it up because they hit Wisconsin consumers and others for record profits last year. And that they should have to pay their fair share of the state's transportation infrastructure. The difficulty is, how do you target it just at that oil company and not pass that tax on to consumers? Same thing with the hospital tax the governor is proposing. That's designed to actually bring more federal money into Wisconsin, and the governor's pitching it as something that will benefit hospitals. But again, how do you make sure that doesn't end up getting passed on to people who, you know, go to hospitals, sick people? Or the tobacco tax, you could kind of make the same argument there. That's sort of getting passed on to a number of poor people smoke, and in a way, those are people that can afford the tax the least. So that's going to be sort of the an ongoing debate in the next several months.
Well, we only have you for a couple more minutes here, Sean. What else is on tap this week at the state capitol?
Well, tomorrow there's the primary for the state Supreme Court seat. Voters are going to narrow down a field of three candidates to two right now. Madison attorney Linda Clifford, Washington County Judge Annette Ziegler, and Oregon defense attorney Joseph Summers are in the race. Ziegler, the Republican-favored candidate, Clifford, the one favored by Democrats, and Summers sort of the outsider in the race.
Mm-hmm.
The governor is going to join Senator Cole today, and along with some other agricultural groups, to announce a health care plan for Wisconsin farmers.
Okay.
Not too many details on that at this point. And then the assembly later this week is going to be, actually tomorrow, they're going to take up that bill that would end the sick leave credit program for legislators, judges, and other state officials. And there's also going to be a public hearing later this week on Thursday, a plan that would require a photo ID to vote. It's something we've heard a lot of at the Capitol the last couple sessions.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there are a lot of controversial issues coming up this week. We'll be sure to follow them and maybe do some more programs on it. Sean, thanks very much for joining us on A Day Off.
All right. Thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, joining us, I think, from Illinois this morning. Got to do something about those phones in Illinois. Stay with us. Coming up after the weather break, we will welcome in State Representative Scott Suter. We'll talk about some of those crime issues that Sean alluded to, the backup in the state crime lab, and the controversy over a tracking program of sexual offenders. Coming up in just a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 18 minutes past 7 o'clock now. Coming up this afternoon during the 5 o'clock hour, during At Issue with Ben Marins, it's the Great Decisions series. It continues after 5 o'clock with Ben and his guests discussing U.S.-Mexico relations. The Great Decisions series after 5 this afternoon. This is our State Capitol Report, our new weekly feature when we kick around issues making news from under the State Capitol Dome. We just heard from Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about some of the issues on tap this week. And now we will welcome in one of the state lawmakers who is interested in one of the issues making news this week, Scott Suter, Republican state representative from Abbotsford, co-chair of a special legislative committee on the placement of sex offenders, former chair of the Assembly Committee on Criminal Justice. Representative Suter says he was shocked to learn that Governor Doyle is scaling back a new law that is set to start in July that would use GPS monitoring to track sexual offenders. This law says that these sex offenders would be tracked electronically, essentially for life, but the governor didn't fund that completely in the state budget proposal he released last week. We will talk with Scott Suter about that issue, plus other crime issues in the news, including the debate over what to do with the backlog at the state crime lab. We will welcome your questions and reactions for him at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Representative Scott Suter joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
First of all, tell us about this electronic monitoring program and what it would have done in regard to sexual offenders.
Well, this is the bill that Governor Doyle signed last year. It essentially allows Wisconsin to utilize GPS technology to track child sex offenders throughout the state of Wisconsin. Some for a lifetime. The worst of the worst, the Chapter 980s, those who are deemed seriously mentally ill and are most likely to reoffend, we allowed the GPS devices to be not only placed on, but we would track these individuals for the rest of their lives. Now, other states have done this, are doing this, and Wisconsin, even the governor, touted this bill that he signed as one of the toughest sex predator laws in the entire nation. Unfortunately, in his budget, we find that he backs away from lifetime monitoring, doesn't create the necessary tools that we need to enact the legislation. Now, the legislation was signed by the governor. Mm-hmm. We went through 10 months of debate, and very tough debate, and that happens in the legislature from time to time. But this is the governor that signed it after 10 months of debate, and now he is essentially doing a 180 on tracking dangerous child sex offenders. And many of us are very upset by his decision to back off legislation he signed.
Yeah, so the governor decided in the state budget to scale it back, and he funded it to just track those sex offenders who are on parole or supervised released, and that's not good enough for you.
Well, it's a question, because he not only does he back off of lifetime monitoring, he backs off the entire program. He moves from what's called active GPS, which means tracking these individuals every moment of every day, to passive GPS, which essentially allows these sex offenders to check in from time to time, and then the state would review where they've been. That's not good enough for many of us. It's certainly not good enough for community safety. And he essentially, in my view, if you take a look at what he has done in his budget, he essentially guts the bill that he signed, and he takes out major portions that are very, very important for safety purposes. And that's simply unacceptable to many of us. I was shocked. I'm stunned that the governor, who touted this in, you know, many of his campaign commercials and took a lot of credit for it, and I actually gave him a lot of credit for signing it, now has suddenly done a 180 in the state budget, and I think that is very, very dangerous for our communities.
Well, what I was reading is that the governor and the corrections department are saying that they have since discovered some problems in trying to do this, calling them structural problems. It was concluded, according to a corrections department spokesperson, that the tracking, the GPS tracking of sex offenders just won't work. It won't prevent them from committing new crimes. But maybe just letting law enforcement track what they did after they did it. So what's the point?
Well, the point is to track them so we know where they are, so that we can, in the legislation, create exclusion and inclusion zones, which essentially allow the Department of Corrections to determine where these individuals can go and where they cannot go. So any, quote-unquote, structural problems the bill had, this is the first that I've heard of it, because, again, we went through 10 months of long, lengthy, very serious debate on this issue. Other states are doing this. We modeled our legislation off of what works in other states. And to be honest, this seems to be a moving target of excuses for the Department of Corrections. They've used every excuse in the world to try to battle this important law, from, oh, it's going to cost too much, or, oh, we can't do this because it's too tough on child sex predators. Now, apparently, their mantra is that there are structural problems. Well, if there are indeed structural problems, if I take them at their word, then we'll fix them. If there isn't enough money in the legislation, and if there isn't enough money that the governor gives, we will find it. One way or another, we are going to make certain that we track the most dangerous child sex predators in this state, and we're going to drag the Department of Corrections kicking and screaming with all of their excuses, and we're going to make sure this happens, because, one, it's constitutional, and, two, more importantly, it's the right thing to do to make sure we know where these people are, because, again, these are the people that are most likely to reoffend, and these are dangerous child sex predators. I don't know anyone in the state, Democrat or Republican or Green or anyone else, that doesn't want to track these individuals who have such a high rate of reoffense. The people most likely to reoffend are the people that we go after and the people we want to track. Many of them for a lifetime, not all of them, but for the life of me, I don't understand why the governor would back off of lifetime tracking for our most dangerous child sex offenders. It really is astonishing.
Yeah, so what are you going to do to make sure it happens?
Well, we're going to do a number of things. First of all, I think we're going to have a huge battle in the state budget. And the law goes into effect this July. The governor delays implementation of it till next January. I'm going to try to block that, and we're going to try to restore the original bill that he signed during the campaign, took credit for, did commercials on. It was good enough then. And again, after 10 months of debate, if there were problems with the bill, I would think that a former attorney general would know what those problems would have been. He has an entire Department of Corrections that could have come to us and said, hey, we need to tweak this, we need to take a look at this, we need to make some changes. That never happened. So it is rather interesting to me that now suddenly, structural problems occur. But if there are problems, we will fix them. But we're going to restore the law, we're going to do everything we can to make sure we're tracking these predators, child sex predators in the state of Wisconsin. And I sit on the Joint Finance Committee, and when the Department of Corrections comes up with their budget, they better be ready for some tough questions and better be ready to explain to the people of Wisconsin why they and their governor and the defenders of this budget would want to back off of tracking dangerous child sex predators. It just doesn't make any sense.
In our remaining minutes, let me turn to another issue, this backlog of DNA cases in the state crime lab. The governor proposed, I think, 15 new crime lab analysts in his budget proposal. The new attorney general, J.B. Van Hollen, wants twice that number. What should it be?
Well, I think the number should be what it requires to get the job done and get the backlog complete. This is not a Republican or a Democrat issue. I think many of us are prepared. And look, I'm a fiscal conservative and been accused of, even being Dr. No when it comes to additional funding for anything. But when it comes to the delivery of justice, I think we have to give the Attorney General what he needs to get the job done with the crime lab backlog. It is just that important. The delivery of justice in the state is suffering. Law enforcement is suffering. And I believe many of us are going to come together to find the amount of money and the positions that the Attorney General needs to make sure that this is cleaned up. It is the right thing to do, and we're going to find the resources to do it.
What about this recommendation from a panel looking into this backlog problem, saying that maybe these cases should be outsourced in order to catch up even sooner?
Well, in my conversations with our Attorney General, it appears that it would actually cost more to outsource than to actually have it done in-house. We have our crime lab's intact. I think we have very good people there. It's just he is telling me and others, and he's meeting with Democrats and Republicans across the board. He's very, very serious about this, that this needs to be done. It needs to be done right, and it would actually cost more to outsource it. So, we will do what is necessary and give the necessary funding to the Attorney General to do this. The important thing is we need to get this backlog cleaned up. And if that takes 31 positions, we'll do it. If we can do it with 15 or 20, we'll do that as well. But if we don't do it now, it will cost us more in the long run. And I think we need to get the job done now. I think you'll find that we'll come to a bipartisan agreement on this issue because the Attorney General is working so hard trying to reach across party lines. He is working with the governor on this, and I know he's meeting with the legislators throughout the Capitol. He's very serious about it. I could see that in his face, and when he met with me, that he wants this cleaned up, and he's going to do what it takes to get the job done, and we're going to give him the resources to do it.
We have less than 30 seconds. Anything else, Representative Souter, on your radar screen this week?
Well, we are going to take up legislation this week in the State Assembly to do away with sick leave for legislators, mm-hmm. and I think that's an important issue. We've started this session off right in terms of creating the most sweeping ethics reform legislation in 25 years. Yep. And now we're moving forward with even more reforms in the state. So I think we're off on the right foot, and I think people should pay attention because it's a new day in Wisconsin, and
we're
doing the right thing.
We'll pay attention. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Scott Souter, a Republican state representative from Abbotsford. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36, and this is the State Capitol Report. Every Monday in our 7 o'clock hour, we will focus in on some of the issues making news from under the State Capitol Dome. And we will continue in this half hour looking at some of the new issues being debated and discussed at the State Capitol this hour, welcoming in State Representative Spencer Black, author of a new bill that would require a reduction in greenhouse gas emissions in Wisconsin. And we'll also talk with Representative Black about some other environmental issues that are a part of the state budget that was unveiled by Governor Doyle last week. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. 1-800-1890. State Representative Spencer Black is a Democratic State Representative from Madison. He is the ranking member on the Assembly's Natural Resources Committee. He recently introduced a bill to reduce carbon dioxide emissions in Wisconsin. It's dubbed the Global Warming Solutions Bill, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. You know, the very first state capitol report that we did in early January, we had a caller call in to say, I wonder if State Representative Spencer Black is going to introduce any legislation to do something about global warming. And I guess you are.
Yes, I have. And it's modeled on the actually a law, not just a bill, but a law that was signed into effect in California last November by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And what does it do?
What it does is it requires that Wisconsin reduce our emission of carbon dioxide, the main greenhouse gas that is contributing to global warming and climate disruption, reduce our levels of emission of that gas to 1990 levels by the year 2020.
Yeah, and how might that be done?
Well, it would be a combination of things that would need to be done. The bill itself would require it, but does not specify it. The governor set up a task force to come up with solutions on that. But some of the things that would be done, obviously, is greater emphasis on energy efficiency, renewable energy, biofuels, incentives and other approaches to reduce emissions from motor vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
California, and those are the things that California has actually been pursuing and has basically kept its emissions of CO2, carbon dioxide, flat over the last decade, even though they've had a significant population growth. Wisconsin, we haven't been doing as well. We've been increasing our emissions of CO2 by about 2.5% a year since 1990.
Yeah, so why do you think Wisconsin should do this?
Well, I think every state should do it. And the reason we need to do it at the state level, unfortunately, is the federal government is not taking action. I would actually far prefer that the federal government pass strong laws to deal with this problem of upcoming climate disruption, but the Bush administration has, as you know, downplayed this issue. So I think it falls to the states to take action. California, as a sort of the 800-pound gorilla in the U.S. economy, it's a big part of the U.S. economy, has taken the lead, which makes it possible for Wisconsin and other states, which are also acting, to take action at the state level in the absence of federal level. The reason is because this potential problem of global warming and climate disruption poses such a threat, especially to future generations, to our kids and their kids, that I don't think we can afford to sit on our hands. There'll be major impacts in Wisconsin and around the country if what all the scientists agree will happen is that we're going to have a significant increase in the average temperature of the Earth, which we've already seen some of, but will only increase over time, and the kind of disruption to our climate that we've started to see, but will be much more dramatic in the years to come.
Now, we have seen some reaction from some utility spokespeople on your legislation. One of them is saying that this isn't going to do any good unless it were a federal mandate, and a state-by-state mandate won't do any good. What do you say to him?
Well, it will do good, but I would, you know, in one sense, I agree that at the federal level it would be better if that was being done. Ironically, however, I think it's somewhat disingenuous for the utilities to say that because the association that lobbies for them at the federal level is lobbying Congress not to pass any legislation. So we have something that we often see where in Congress, these lobby groups are saying, don't do anything. And then when the states try to do something, they say, let Congress do it.
Yeah.
So it's a little duplicitous in that sense. You know, interestingly, a number of the other utilities around the country are far more innovative. For example, in California, the major utility, PG&E, was a supporter of the California law. And I'm hopeful that our utilities, many of which have been forward-looking in other areas, will sit back, not have a knee-jerk reaction, and come forward and support this legislation, as utilities have elsewhere in the country, because they realize this is going to happen, and if we do it, if we're ahead a little bit of the curve, we're going to be able to adjust a lot more to what could be very dramatic changes in the future. In terms of state action, let me say that in the past, Wisconsin and other states have taken action when the federal government has failed to act. An example is acid rain, which is a major environmental issue. When I first came into the legislature back in 1984, Wisconsin passed a strong acid rain law. Other states did as well, and that led to federal action some years later when the federal government passed an acid rain law after states had started to act. And we hope that the same thing will happen here, that states will begin to take action, and then the federal government will follow.
Let me take some callers who are online wanting to talk with you about this. Jack in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Yes, I'm looking here. It says that Wisconsin drivers currently consume 102 million gallons of renewable fuels, over 2.5 billion gallons of gasoline per annum. And I'm with Cities Without Cars, and we're calling for people to get out of their cars and get into buses and cabs and vans. And I'm wondering how Spencer feels about this, and I think that this conservation has to begin in our own homes.
All right, so we should cut back on our car emissions, too, Representative Black.
Well, I think we do. Well, part of the, a big part of the problem is emissions from vehicles, and I think there's a number of approaches. One is to encourage better fuel efficiency, provide incentives for the use of hybrids. For example, a hybrid like I drive uses half the fuel and emits half the emissions, greenhouse gases, that a vehicle of the same size and power would emit if it was a conventional car. In addition, I think we have to make it more convenient and more attractive for people to use mass transit, to build a train system between our cities so there's an alternative to driving, and also make it more possible, both in the times ways we develop our communities and the way our transportation system works, for people to do things like walk and bicycle. Those are all going to contribute. There's not going to be one solution, but we're going to have a variety of solutions, and it's very doable. I think it's one of these. It's a very large problem, but the solution, while it requires some inconveniences, is very achievable if we were to put our mind to it.
Thank you, Jack. Mike in Madison is with us now. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I'd just like to applaud the state senator for introducing this bill. I've been wanting this bill for a long time, but one of the points I'd like to ask is that it seems like legislators feel they have a need for, you know, the public to come out, you know, in the thousands and millions and tell them they want them to act on something like this. But really, don't legislators have an obligation to act on things that are threatening to the climate and the environment, even without the big groundswell? And the other point is that Wisconsin has been a leader for 30, 40 years, ever since Governor Nelson was governor. We had WEPA, we had DDT controls first, we had PCBs, water quality. This is just another situation where we need to be a step above the rest, just to encourage the others to do it.
Yeah, you agree with that, Representative Black.
Well, I certainly agree with it. But in terms of legislation, I wish I could get my colleagues in the legislature just to, you know, say, yes, you're right, Spence, and let's do it. But it's a little tougher battle. It will require a groundswell of public support, which is happening, because at the press conference we had last week, which Wisconsin Public Radio covered well, we had a wide variety of conservation, environmental, and religious groups joining together to start what will be a major grassroots campaign. And it is a challenge to get something passed. And the reason is because it will require some present inconveniences to prevent future harm. And the caller mentioned Gaylord Nelson, who was one of my mentors in politics. And Gaylord Nelson often said that one of the problems with passing environmental laws is politicians tend to think more about the next election than the next generation. And dealing with the problem of upcoming global warming and climate disruption will require us to make some sacrifices, I think very modest and achievable, but some sacrifices, and undergo some inconveniences now in order to prevent significant harm to future generations. And that's often the hardest thing to do in politics, but I think that the kind of groundswell I do see amongst the public as they realize this is going to happen, and people in Wisconsin have a traditional sense of stewardship, is going to help convince the legislature to do the right thing.
We're talking with Spencer Black. He's a Democratic state representative from Madison, who, along with State Senator Mark Miller, a Democrat from Monona, are proposing what's called the Global Warming Solutions Bill. It would require that Wisconsin reduce its greenhouse gas emissions the carbon dioxide emissions be reduced to 1990 levels by the year 2020. We welcome your thoughts and questions for him on this new legislation just announced late last week, and plus any other questions you have about environmental issues and how those environmental issues are being treated in our state budget proposed by Governor Doyle last week. We'll talk more about that after the weather break. 1-800-642-1234. We have open lines now for your reactions and questions. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, we'll talk about Congress and the war in Iraq. The House passed on Friday a non-binding resolution criticizing the troop surge in Iraq. The Senate did not vote on this resolution. Republicans blocked a vote on it. We'll talk with a guest political analyst about what's next on the agenda for Congress and the war in Iraq and whether all this amounts to symbolism or backbone. That's coming up after 8. This is the State Capitol Report, and we are talking right now with Spencer Black, a Democratic State Representative from Madison, who is on the Assembly's Natural Resources Committee and is the author of a new bill to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Welcoming your questions about this new legislation, but also welcoming any thoughts or questions you might have on environmental issues and how the state budget deals with the environmental issues. I noticed in some of the coverage of the state budget address last week, Spencer Black, that Governor Doyle is proposing an expansion of the stewardship fund. That must make you happy.
That makes me happy indeed. You know, I authored this thing 20 years ago. What the stewardship fund is it's the largest conservation effort, land conservation effort in Wisconsin history to protect the best of what's left of our outdoors. Since we started this program in 1990, we've protected almost 500,000 acres of wildlife habitat, natural areas, and protecting recreational opportunity. But, you know, Wisconsin faces tremendous development pressures around our urban areas and some of our popular tourist areas, as well as some major changes in land ownership patterns. And if we want to protect the scenic beauty and the biological diversity and the opportunities for outdoor recreation that, to my mind, make Wisconsin so special, we really have to protect our land base. And so what the governor has proposed is to extend the stewardship fund, reauthorize it, because it's a 10-year program and it would run out as of the year 2010, but also to adjust the funding level, not to so much increase the amount that the program could do, but to maintain its historical ability to buy land, which will take more money because land is more expensive, especially in the areas where our urban areas are growing the most and where we do want to protect open space and some natural areas and outdoor recreational opportunities where our communities are growing and where people are going to live in the future.
Yeah, lots of callers for you, but let me ask you a little bit. What we have $40 million proposed more for renewable energy sources?
Yes, there's increases in investments in renewable energy, biofuels, the first cellulosic ethanol biofuel plant, which is very important because that's far more efficient than making our biofuels just out of corn. And it's also a source of energy that we can have here in Wisconsin rather than spending our hard-earned money to places like Saudi Arabia or Iran to buy our oil. So we have some real potentials here to use our agricultural base to produce fuels, but we're going to have to do it in a more efficient manner if it's going to be sustainable over the long term. And the governor is saying, let's make an investment in that, and I think that's to be commended. The governor's budget at all, I should say, to me, was very good news because he really takes a number of strong initiatives in the area of the environment, I think far bolder than he has in the past, and I'm very supportive of his environmental initiatives in his budget bill.
Let's go to the phones. Megan in Madison. Hi, Megan.
Hi. Thanks for speaking with me today, Spencer Black.
Oh, you bet.
My question for you kind of involves what Governor Doyle put forward last week in some of his proposed bills, and I kind of kept hearing this phrase, energy independence, thrown around. Now, I mean, Wisconsin doesn't have any uranium deposits, we don't have any coal, we don't have any oil, so from a raw material standpoint, is that feasible in a state like Wisconsin? And, I mean, if you're looking at the United States as a whole, is Bush's proposal to be energy independent a reasonable one?
Well, probably to be a little more strict about it, I would say less energy dependent was probably a more accurate term. But, you know, right now, virtually all the energy we use, whether it's coal, oil, natural gas, is imported. And what that means in terms of our economy is we're spending more than $10 billion a year that just flows right out of the state. So this is one of those examples where a good economy and a good environment go hand in hand. You know, we spend a lot of effort trying to bring jobs and income into the state, but the energy outflow is just like trying to fill a bucket with a big hole in the bottom. When you invest in energy efficiency or you invest in renewable energy, a lot of that money goes into labor, paying people who work in Wisconsin, rather than spending the same money to go to foreign countries or other states to import coal or oil. And that money, economists will tell you, when you keep a dollar in state, it tends to circulate and create new jobs, between 3 and 4 new jobs for every dollar spent. So we can make a major benefit to our economy by investing in what I call made in Wisconsin energy. And so this is a very smart economic move as well as a good move for the environment, because the energy we make in Wisconsin is clean energy. It's from the wind, it's from the sun, it's from our agricultural fields. And done right, we're never going to be energy independent given the current type of economy we have, but we can be much less dependent on other states and other nations for our energy sources.
Now, I hear some saying, and I know you're not one of them, but some are saying that we could really cut down on our greenhouse gas emissions from coal-fired power plants by having more nuclear power. Why aren't you in that group that wants more nuclear power?
Well, not at this time. Although I don't rule it out for the future.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we have what I consider an intelligent law in Wisconsin saying that we're not going to build or consider new nuclear power plants until we have a place to produce the waste that we create. Mm-hmm. It only makes sense. The nuclear power plants produce waste that's highly dangerous for 10,000 years. We've produced quite a bit already in this country, and right now we have no place to put it. That's a problem that needs to be solved. But it hasn't been. And until we have such a place, we really can't intelligently consider new nuclear power plants. If we have a solution to that in the future, then we have to evaluate them. But that's not going to happen anytime in the immediate future. So I think we can't be stymied in terms of looking at other alternatives like renewable energy, energy efficiency. In the short term, I think that the nuclear power plants, if they ever occur in a safe manner, is going to be way out in the future.
Yeah, thanks to Megan. Ryan in Ellsworth is with us now. Hi, Ryan.
Morning, Joy.
Morning.
I was wondering if there was any way to take a look at possibly reducing the speed in the highways.
That one's been fought before. You know, at one time in the 70s, we did have a lower speed limit, and it definitely saves energy having a lower speed limit. That's a quite frankly, a politically tough sell. I voted against raising the speed limit years back. But that's probably going to be politically a tough sell, to be honest. But it's certainly, from a scientific point of view, cars use a lot more fuel. That last 10 miles an hour uses disproportionately large amounts of fuel.
Let me ask you, Spencer Black, about a story in our news this morning by our reporter Chuck Kornbach, our environmental reporter, that deals with DNR Secretary Scott Hassett talking with Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about environmental enforcement. And apparently the new Attorney General is pulling Wisconsin out of a multi-state lawsuit against the EPA's policy on modernizing power plants. Do you have anything to say about this?
Oh, I sure do. In fact, I was the one who asked the reporter who wrote that story to write it, brought that to his attention.
Well, thank you for that.
So I'm very, Wisconsin was part of a multi-state lawsuit, 14 states, that sued the federal EPA because the Bush administration was backing off the requirement in the Clean Air Act is that when a old, dirty power plant, these are the dirtiest of the dirty, is expanded, that they have to install pollution control equipment. This was part of the Clean Air Act when it was originally passed, and the Bush administration was abandoning it. 14 states, including Wisconsin, went to court, won in court, saying that the federal government had to obey the law. The federal government and the utilities together are appealing this decision to the Supreme Court. And the new attorney general pulled Wisconsin out of the lawsuit. It was, to my mind, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. And I'm very concerned about it because these plants, generally, we don't have that many in Wisconsin, but they tend to, the pollution from them, especially the Ohio River Valley, tends to drift up here to Wisconsin and helps pollute the airs of our state. In addition, I'm concerned if this is a sign of things to come from the Attorney General, because the Attorney General has a key role in enforcing our environmental laws. That is, if the DNR finds a major violation that has to go to court, they have to bring it to the attention of the Department of Justice, and it's up to the Department of Justice to prosecute that case. So if this is a sign of things to come with lax enforcement at the Department of Justice under the new Attorney General, then that's indeed grounds for some concern.
Well, we are out of time for this hour, but I hope to talk to you again about many of these issues.
Great.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Joy.
Spencer Black, Democratic State Representative from Madison. He's on the Assembly's Natural Resources Committee, and he just last week, along with State Senator Mark Miller, introducing a new bill to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in Wisconsin, calling it the Global Warming Solutions Bill. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour. Thanks to Karen Prager for on-air production. Thank you for listening and for calling in. You can listen to all of our talk shows again. They're stored on our website, wpr.org. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.